Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Well, I was going to have a guest come on that was going to tell us about this latest fire that is taking place in Cold Springs, Colorado, but she just had to be evacuated. So, that's a shocker to me, and I just got a long message from Eve about another subject that we'll get into if possible. Folks, it's a very strange situation. Let me play. I have a few clips here. This fire is only about 200 to 300 acres. Some of the ones that I've talked about previously on the show were 200 to 300,000 acres. So although this seems to be hitting people that we know, which it's just really hard to put into words, this to watch these prophecies play out is just an incredible thing. I'm going to try to turn this clip on, and we're going to listen to what's going on in Cold Springs, Colorado, as we speak. Bear with me. I haven't done clips in a few weeks. Here we go.
Breaking right now, a fire burning in Boulder County near Nederland is forcing people out of their homes. Mandatory evacuation orders are in place right now. And Boulder County says the fire has grown to at least 226 acres. It's moving east-northeast. They've named this the Cold Springs Fire. Denver 7's Kristen Scovier is here now with how firefighting efforts are going right now.
What started as a small plume of smoke in the distance can now be seen clear across the metro area.
We saw that there was like a cloud was different, a different cloud, a darker, you know, like smoke.
More than 100 firefighters on the ground and in the air are battling the blaze just outside Nederland.
It's just on the hill right now, but it's quite reasonably large, and it is definitely moving towards us.
Three separate aircraft spent the afternoon pulling water from the reservoir and dousing the flames along the ridge.
About 2 o'clock, stepped out on the front porch and looked through the trees, and there was a big, big ball of brown smoke.
A local disaster declaration was signed around 5:30 p.m., calling in more resources. So far, hundreds of acres have burned, almost 1,000 people asked to evacuate their homes. Rolando Hernandez is visiting from Dallas. He was trying to get his family through Nederland, but had to turn around as roads like Silver Point, Sugarloaf, and portions of the Peak to Peak Highway shut down.
We've got to go back to Boulder and then try to get to Estes Park.
So far, several structures have been destroyed, and homeowners are watching for shifting winds and the glow along the horizon, hoping their homes will be spared.
Good evening.
Okay, folks, just one second. There we go. I'm back. Well, that's the Cold Springs fire. This is brand new news to me. I didn't know anything about it until just a little while ago. If I seem a little unprepared, that's why, and also because I'm just a little unprepared in general. Let me talk a little bit about some of the fires that we've discussed on other shows, and I don't even like discussing this material. I'll tell you the truth, it's just too foreboding for my taste. Probably the first thing to do is to read, if I can, a little bit from Contact 215 about what the Meyer material says is going to happen with these fires. It says America's largest cities will be absolutely destroyed, and firestorms will cause great disaster and misery. Severe earthquakes and volcanic eruptions will also belong to that time, and these will cause much suffering and misery and death, besides enormous destruction and devastation. As all of nature and the planet itself will rise up against the insanity of the human beings on Earth. It says here that enormous firestorms and gigantic hurricanes will sweep over the USA and bring devastation, destruction, and annihilation, as this from time immemorial has never happened before. So one of the prophecies is about these huge gigantic firestorms which will take place in the United States. And I've been tracking this as it's been occurring the past 3 or 4 years. So let me cover, in case you know this stuff comes on the news and it goes right off and then people kind of forget about it, let me remind you of the Rim Fire on August 17th, 2013, which burned 402 square miles. That was only 3 years ago. Ranks as the third largest fire in California history. It threatened the water supply of San Francisco and almost destroyed the Yosemite National Park's sequoia trees. The Rim Fire destroyed 257,000 acres, where this fire is only 226 acres. And then on August 8th of 2013, we had the Pony Complex Fire in Idaho, which was 12 miles northeast of Mountain Home, Idaho. It destroyed 149,000 acres of fire. Let me talk about a couple of the other fires. The Funny River Fire in 2014, which destroyed 193,000 acres, 302 square miles. This was in Alaska, near the Kenai Peninsula. It's called the Funny River in Alaska, and I have a guest that lives up in that area, Henry Kroll. And then finally, on July 14th, I think of that same year, 2014, the Carlton Complex Fire raged in North Central Washington, and which was the largest fire in the state history, having burned 390 square miles. That's an area four times the size of Seattle that just burned up. And some of these fires form what are called fire natives. And I think it was Eve, who's in the chat room, who sent me a clip of one of these fire natives that occurred in California not long ago. So we're seeing the Meyer prophecies fulfilled before our eyes, unfortunately. Again, this is not fun to me. I do not like to bring this information. And it, as it says in the Meyer material, as I already mentioned, enormous natural catastrophes and rolling walls of fire and violent hurricanes will rage all across America. And son of a gun, I've lived to see it. Not happy about it. I don't even like talking about it. Let me play this other clip here on the current Cold Springs fire in Nederland, in Boulder County, Colorado.
My name is Mike Smith. I'm with the Boulder IMC. I'm the incident commander this evening, and I was also the initial attack incident commander. Current status of the fire is we believe the fire is at 226 acres. The cause of the fire is under investigation at this time, and the investigation is being taking place with Boulder County Sheriff and a couple of different cooperators. We have two confirmed structures lost so far, but it's likely that there will be more. We have evacuations in place currently at the Bonanza Mountain Estates, Cold Springs neighborhood, Whispering Pines, the St. Anton's Highlands, and Silver Springs neighborhood. The evacuation center is currently at Nederland High School, which is off to the south and west of town. We've run 32 engines have been on the fire today. We've had a strong aerial assault on the fire. We've used heavy air tankers, single-engine air tankers, helicopters, and air attack. We've got more on order for tomorrow. We also have a Type 2 incident management team on order. We hope that they will be in place.
Okay, folks, I'm back. As I said earlier, I was having a guest that was going to come on and talk about this, Solaris Blue Raven, who's been on the show many times. But unfortunately, she just got evacuated. I just got a quick blurb on Skype, and she must live near Cold Springs. So she's out. She's out of there. I hope she got her pets out. What a just a horrific time we live in. We're seeing the Meyer material fulfilled. Unfortunately, I do not like talking about these fires. I think it's just a terrible situation that we have, where things have gone so far that we're going to have to face some of these disasters. And I think actually Michael Horn just had a discussion with the Coast to Coast guys about this, and Billy has some very spooky information about what's happening in the United States. And he's, I think the words that Michael Horn said that Billy had said was that the United States will be wrecked. I hope Billy's wrong, but he seldom is. Let me read a little bit from the Goblet of Truth that talks about a little bit about the fires in a sense. And a fires in a way in terms of corruption, I guess. It says, "Your greed for profit, you human beings of earth, is continuing to abound more and more. And the people in power in your world are casting your populations of all states into ever deeper misery, making self-aggrandizing and megalomaniacal decisions over your head and taking all of the power of determination away from you." We live in a time that's called the third millennium. And in the third millennium, it's about 800 years before we make the transition into the situation where many people will start to pay attention to the Meyer information. But before we get there, we're going to have to go through some really bad times. And one of the things we're seeing is this tremendous overpopulation by earthly humanity. And this will induce these natural disasters. One of the things that we're doing is we're destroying our forests. Which the forests are the moderators of the weather. So as we get more and more forests being cut down, we get more and more extreme weather, like extreme hot, which dries everything out. And then the next thing you'll do is you'll get a lightning strike, and that'll start a fire, or something else will start a fire. So we'll get these side effects, which are caused by us destroying the forests. And when the forests get to a certain size, these negative chain reactions tend to build on themselves. And one of the things we'll see are ever more severe droughts and periods of cold weather, as well as vast storms of all kinds. The Meyer material talks about that we'll see rainstorms and firestorms brought forth by forest fires, which will scourge the entire earth. And I'm going to try to see if I can do a quick search on the word forest fires. Maybe we can pull up a little bit more information on this. I'm not sure off the top of my head if there's anything that mentions this specifically. Yes, in Contact 329, it talks about forest fires. So let me just bear with me, folks. I'm going through some intense times too, and it's affected me in terms of the show a little bit. Contact 329, Billy says, "For years, Quetzal's predictions have fulfilled themselves with respect to natural catastrophes, as in regard to the violent forest fires in America, Europe, Australia, and Russia now. But also related to the monstrous storms with rain, hail, snow, and floodwaters, hurricanes, and volcanic eruptions. The prophecies also speak of this, and here I want to know how long that actually will still continue and whether the phrase 50% of all of it is now the fault of the humans. Is that still right? Billy asks Ptah. And whether the rolling fires that presently blaze in America are identical to those named in the prophecies. And Ptah says the percentage rate of fault attributed to the earth human for all the catastrophes has remained the same since Quetzal's prophecies. However, it will still climb somewhat in the future if the destruction of the environment is indeed not ordered to stop through effective reason. But the time during which the catastrophes still keep up and even increase runs yet far into the future. The raging rolling fire in the USA in regard to the burning forest you have mentioned corresponds, as a matter of fact, to the statements of the prophecies. Yet they will establish only a part of that there, because in more distant times, a still much worse fire will rage that will move there across the United States and leads back to an origin of an act of war. So at some point, I assume these fires will be started intentionally by either terrorists or some organization. And this continues here. The storms of the entire world would degenerate to such an extent that from now on, damage in the billions of Swiss francs will come about in worldwide form, and also many humans will lose their lives. Naturally, also quiet pauses will occur between these, yet these will only be what you will call the calm before the storm. That's contact report 329. I'll throw that in the chat room. Hope you folks can still hear me. I think you can. In any case, let me push forward a little bit more and talk about, and this was a bulletin Billy put out, a warning to all the governments of Europe. Let me stick this in and warning all the governments of Europe. There would be many human lives to mourn as a result of the upheaval and storms caused by the climate, because already in the next decades, a rapidly climbing climactic warming and climactic alteration will result, which produces enormous snowfalls, hail, monstrous masses of rains, gales, typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, and other storms, as well as droughts, thunderstorms, and forest fires in unimagined quantity, and which would tear over Europe and the entire world, provoking gigantic damage. So more and more bad news. FIGU Bulletin 16 talks a little bit about the forest fires. In case, if you haven't heard any more about these, Billy says, if you allow it, I want yet again to return to the coming apocalyptic natural catastrophes on our Mother Earth. In my understanding, in addition to all that you have said belong, as well as primeval floods, droughts, through the onset of heat and great onset of cold, mud avalanches, landslides, as well as forest fires and hailstorms in enormous measure. We've seen some of those massive hailstorms in Texas lately. There is Bulletin 16 talking about the tremendous forest fires. I'll cover a few more of these. There's an event timeline that also talks about these forest fires. Let me see. Give me a second here, folks. There are actually a date associated with this, which you don't get that very much in the Meyer information. Oops. Well, I'm just having all kinds of screw-ups here. But there's an event timeline that's on the um, the future of mankind site. Enormous forest fires, gigantic hurricanes, and typhoons will occur that are greater than ever recorded, but not by fantasy amount, more than historical. This is on the event timeline. I'll throw that in the chat. This is not Billy's event timeline, well said by somebody, but may not be 100% accurate. Might be worth looking at. I'll let you make the decision on whether you think it's worth it. Contact 215 is quoted. Let's see if any other thing. Here's another one. But unfortunately, at least during this forced period, it will be such that those of the population of these countries was talking about some other events. That's 2004. So anyway, that was the event timeline. We'll take that with a grain of salt. Another thing that talks about destructive forest fires, contact report 150. There's also another bulletin that mentions it. I just want to cover some of these quickly. Bear with me. I thought it would be interesting to talk about. I'll put this in the chat room as well. It's contact 150. Then after these events, only the severe natural disasters will have to be complained about worldwide, especially in Australia, where in the southern regions, tremendous and large destructive forest fires will destroy much and also demand human lives. And then once the fires have expired, still no peace will enter. But new catastrophes will break across the country, this time through tremendous water masses, which will fall from the sky in torrents, and which will flood the country, causing massive destruction. That's contact report 150. So anyway, like I said, not my favorite topic. I always hope that somehow we're not going to have to go through this. That's probably, there's more. Contact 220, contact 221, contact report 623. I don't have the stomach to even read those anymore. But these prophecies are being fulfilled. The reality of the Meyer material is becoming more and more apparent. There are many catastrophes that are talked about in the third millennium. Let me change topics here. I want to discuss something a little less traumatic. I want to talk about the human spirit a little bit. And this is covered in the Talmud of Emmanuel, chapter 34, verse 40. It says, since the spirit in a person is a part of creation, it is one with creation. Consequently, it is not two. And since the body is a part of the spirit in a different form and matter, it is therefore one with the spirit. Consequently, it is not two. So the spirit and the body are actually one thing, which is mind-boggling to me. And the body is actually a part of the spirit, but it's a different form, it's a different matter. So let's talk a little bit again about the spirit and what the human spirit is. Now, the spirit is, you could almost think of it as a little part of creation that exists in all of us. It's the real you. It's the part of you that lasts essentially eternally. So if your physical body's going to die, and when your physical body dies, your material consciousness, which is your personality, your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind, along with your spirit, is going to leave your body, and it's going to go into this other realm. Let's call it the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm exists in a different dimension, but it essentially occupies the same space that we're in, which is very mysterious. I do not completely understand that. Now, all of your previous life's experiences are processed in an area called the overall consciousness block. And these memories and these experiences and this wisdom is reduced to its essences. And these essences are, you know, your wisdom, your patience, your love, your humility. Those kind of things are stored in your subconscious, your new subconscious mind, because you'll get a new subconscious mind, a new conscious mind, a new personality. This is one thing that goes on in between lives, is the spirit form and the overall consciousness block work together to take those memories from your previous life, store them in your subconscious, in the new subconscious, create for you a new personality and a new material consciousness. And then that spirit form goes back into the body of the child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. So your spirit form will come back. But this exact person that you are now will not come back. You'll be given a new personality. You'll have to grow up again. You'll grow up in a different set of circumstances. You'll get these impulses, these hunches that come from your spirit form when it kind of gives you information from your previous experiences, not like literal information, but you'll get these impulses. So you have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness, and you're going to get these impulses from your spiritual consciousness. Now, your spirit form is probably 4 to 5 million years old, and you've had many, many previous lives, most likely. But occasionally, a new spirit is created. I don't think any more are being created for the earth. I remember hearing Michael Uterbrock talk about there are something like 139 billion spirit forms, human spirit forms in the spirit realm right now around Earth. Way too many. But when a new spirit form is created, it's extremely unknowing. And it lives in a human body and it begins to learn. Now, a person that is considered stupid, it's probably just that his spirit form is young, and it's unknowing and devoid of knowledge and wisdom. But as the spirit form reincarnates again and again and again and again, it gets further wisdom. And after many renewed lives, like it says in the book Talmud of Emmanuel, the time comes when people say, hey, this spirit is normal, is not confused. And eventually, this same spirit will seek the greatest wisdom. And the human spirit perfects itself, and it unfolds in a creational manner. And ultimately, after billions of years, it will merge back with creation. Now, I forget which contact report it is in. Maybe contact report 5. I'll have to look it up. But it talks about 7 distinct levels that spirit forms reach, that human spirit forms evolve through. And most, about 90% of the spirit forms or so on the earth are in stage 2, which is rational life. Some of them are in stage 3, which is intelligent life. Stage 4 is what they call real life, and that's, I mean, these are space-faring civilizations that can jump from star to star with almost no time passing. One of the things that happens at stage 4 is that we become these fantastic genetic engineers, and we can create sentient life at that time, which is very disturbing to people that have been brought up with a certain religious background. But I think there's a lot to be said for good things about religion, but one of the things it doesn't do is prepare us for certain realities of creation. And one of the realities that we're going to deal with when we get to that fourth level is that humanity will actually be able to kind of create life. For example, Semyonov's ship, its central intelligence is a biological brain that Semyase has telepathic interaction with. So essentially, her ship is a living being with a metallic hull. Now, try to stretch your mind and think about that a little bit. In stage five, people become what are called JHWHs, which is the old term in the Bible for Jehovah. But Jehovah was not really an Ishwish, my understanding was. But people do become kings of wisdom. And that's the highest level where you still have a physical body. And then stage six, we go half physical, half spiritual. Stage seven, we're purely spirit again, and we go through this again, long, long period in stage seven. It's like a billion years, and then we merge back with creation. What does the book, the OM, say about the spiritual realm? It says, on this side of the earth is the life of the coarse mattered material. So we're living in coarse, what's called coarse matter bodies. And the spiritual realm and the coarse material realm are separated. And they're in two different dimensions. We're in the visible, palpable material plane. And then there's the invisible and impalpable spiritual plane. There are these two different dimensions. Now, in the material plane, the physical life has to struggle and strive for its being. And the spiritual, into the spirit form of the man, in other words, your spirit form will leave the coarse material body and live in this other side, this non-coarse material side. So there's these two different realms. And let me continue what it says in the OM. It says, therefore man liveth and dieth and is born again into a new body. And this type of becoming and passing away repeats itself until the time of time has arrived at which the spirit form of man as a minute portion of creation does not need a material body for any further evolution. So the purpose of all these lifetimes that you lived, which are blocked, generally speaking, your subconscious mind at our level knows about these previous lives, but your conscious mind is blocked. And it's the way, it's kind of a safety valve for creation because it would be too disturbing to know about all the horrific things which happened in the last 4 to 5 million years. You don't want to know, believe me. I mean, it's hard enough to deal with the disasters that occur in the life that you're dealing with. So you don't need to go back into all these other lifetimes and be yet have to deal with these other things as well. So anyway, that's the way creation works. In 216 of the book, The Psyche is one of Billy's great books. Billy gives the following clarification regarding the human spirit. It says, it is learned that the human being is animated by a tiny part piece of the creational spirit. Then that means in no case that this is a part piece of the universal consciousness itself. However, of an energy and power part piece merely created from it, which is in self, independent from the creational human spirit form. And also, anyway, it's not actually literally part of the universal consciousness. Your spirit form is very similar, though. What is the consciousness block? Let me read here. It says, at this point, a very important and often neglected factor regarding reincarnation or rebirth must be wisely scrutinized. The spirit form, which is in many ways like a minuscule particle of creation, will incarnate into a new human body. It is well known that at the time of a person's death, that the spirit form leaves the body to spend a certain amount of time in the spheres of the beyond. There it has the task of absorbing all of the accumulated knowledge from the previous lives. So this is this pattern, this law of reincarnation, which occurs again and again as we continue to live many, many lifetimes. It's a creational natural law. There are several creational natural laws. One of the creational natural laws is the law of love, which is the primary creational natural law. And I hope I just didn't actually lose connection. Can you guys still hear me? Let me type in the chat room. Can you hear me still? Sorry, folks. I think I got a little happy in the studio just then. And I'm trying to find if I have another clip that... Let me play a clip. I think I have a reasonable clip here on what the fire natives were. Someone in the chat room wanted to hear more about these fire natives. Let me know if you can hear this.
Wildfires are raging and families are on the move, people pulling together to beat back the wall of flames. One man armed with a garden hose, refusing to let his house burn. A little girl in pink cowboy boots, her home in cinders. Firefighters in silhouette battling the blaze, a full moon filling the sky as houses are burning below. And tonight, this is the map. Multiple fires, including a big one right there in San Marcos. As you can see, that's where ABC's Cecilia Vega is on the front lines tonight. Cecilia.
Diane, good evening. We have a fire burning behind us right here. We've had flames reach up to 10 feet tall. And take a look at this. Firefighters standing guard. This is what they're protecting, a house right here. Every minute counts out here. In the last 3 days during these Southern California fires, we've seen more than 10,000 acres torched.
A school under siege. Flames coming within feet of Cal State University San Marcos. Firefighters struggling to keep the blaze at bay on a hillside. While two university workers picked up...
Okay, that's one of the fires that I've talked about before. I just had a caller. Please call back. I put the Ohio Exopolitics number 917-889-7099. Please call back in. I think it was Solon. No, you were good. You were real good. There we go. I'm going to bring 704 on the air. Hello, 704.
Hello.
Is this Solon?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear
me? Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Yes,
pretty good.
Fine.
How are you? What do you think of the fires? We got fires in Cold Springs, and it looks like the Meyer prophecies are being fulfilled again regarding these fires.
Yeah.
I don't even like it. It's not fun.
It's extremely scary. You know, what's really strange is I had a friend who actually read over 251. He really wasn't into Meyer. And he said he's never heard of fire tornadoes before. And he said he went to go find a clip. And I think he actually showed it to me. And he told me he was freaked out just looking at a clip from it, you know, let alone it coming true.
Right, exactly.
So
it's astonishing to see. They're very astonishing to see because they move. And it looks just like a tornado, but it's fire. And it looks like nothing could stop it. At some point in the future, there's going to be massive fire natives. So anyway, very disturbing stuff.
Well, I have a friend who showed me some stuff on the website Knoll School. I think it's, I'm not sure if it's a university that hosted. It's earth.nullschool.net. And he showed me a couple things with, like, the jet stream.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I understand more clearly how these things are kind of formed and, you know, kind of what's going on. And it seems that we're having so many different changes in the jet stream that that we're having some really crazy weather where we get really cold, you know, summers sometimes, or we'll get really hot winters. And it seems that the jet stream's completely just going crazy. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that a lot of the heat, because we know that the rule of, you know, heat is that it rises and that cold falls. And I think that the heat is just going up to the top and it's pushing some of the cold down and causing crazy wind patterns.
Wow. That's interesting. That's extremely interesting. That'll be another thing I'll have to start researching is the jet stream. And and now the jet stream is this meandering air currents found in the upper atmosphere. And the jet streams are they westerly winds? They flow from west to east or something like that?
Yeah, typically here in the it's like a west to east type of deal. Yeah. I posted a link of the in the chat room of the Null School. If you go to the Null School, and I'll kind of show you, kind of give you an idea, and go to air and go to the surface of 500, you'll see the jet pattern going on right now. And I don't know, there's certain dates where you can actually see where it's going haywire. And it seems that if you want to see what it's supposed to look like, what you should do is go to the Antarctica at the bottom, and you'll see it starting to it's usually about 250 pH, apparently, with the jet stream. So I guess maybe that's better than the 500. And you really get an idea of how the air flows. And if you want to know why it's so cold or hot outside, sometimes you can use this.
That's interesting. I'm looking at this graphic right now, and it just looks like the air is just moving in all different directions, right?
It's screwed up, right? But when you look at the southern hemisphere, it looks like it's all peaceful. I mean, I don't know if I should say it's peaceful because I don't know it that well, but it looks like that's the way it's supposed to go when you look, you know, just look at the Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go right up here to the north, the northern hemisphere, it is out of whack. It's just crazy. It's all over the place. I can't find the word. It's not imbalanced, I guess.
I'm looking at the southern portion of the planet right now, and it looks like it forms more spirals, maybe. Is that correct?
Yeah, and now I am no professional. He showed me a lot of stuff, and because of this, I have more of an understanding when Billy talks about a lot of these crazy weathers. For instance, if you read the prophecy, it does state that the northern hemisphere will be wrecked. It'll be wrecked, and when you look at just this, how the weather is, it's already wrecked.
Yeah, it's very disturbing, very, very disturbing, because it makes you wonder, you know, should we be trying to take steps to move out of the country? But where do you go? I mean, I don't know. I guess.
Well, I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't come at it as a place of trying to run away from it. I really feel like the only way we're going to be able to fix a lot of this stuff is with education. I mean, more and more, I try to show this to everyone. And because it's easy for someone to talk about the jet stream, but you don't know what that is. And then when I see this, I'm like, okay, that's the jet stream. I understand, and it's happening real time. You get more of an understanding, and you feel more educated, even though I'm not a professional, but I'm using what professional tools, you know, would somewhat look like, right? That are free.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So I don't.
Jet stream, the winds in the jet stream, they can travel like over 100 miles an hour, correct?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I do know that you can click on this and it'll tell you, if you actually click on this, and it does look like some of them are of that speed. Yeah, that might be correct. Remember, this is kind of a little bit higher up than the ground, but yeah.
Right, right. And The jet stream, do they call it the jet stream because it actually affects the high-flying jets up there? I mean, is that true?
Oh, man, I wish I could answer that, but frankly, I don't know that the answer. Yeah, which is kind of interesting since we're diving into the language there.
I think the jet stream is used by commercial airliners. Like if they fly on the long trips from Tokyo, I'm reading here, from Tokyo to Honolulu, there's an example of where the jet can actually cut time from the trip. You know, maybe, 3 or 4 hours from a long flight.
That makes logical sense. That's like using the laws of nature right there to work with you.
Exactly. So this is, I don't know about you, but when you study this material and you become more and more convinced of its validity, and then you see these things fulfilled, it's disturbing to say the least.
Yeah,
do you agree?
I would say at first I probably had a lot of anxiety, but the more you understand what he's trying to say, the science evidence behind it, the more you become aware of ways of, I don't know how to say correcting it, but of understanding it. So, I feel like anxiety is kind of like one of those things you get when you don't understand something fully and it just drags you down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's kind of interesting. I just recently saw, now I'm kind of venturing off of that, sorry, but I saw a study just recently posted on Facebook, on the FIGU page on Facebook, or I shouldn't say the FIGU, but it's like a unofficial type of deal. And they were talking about how Iceland has 0% religion. There's nobody who, they're not religious at all in Iceland. And it's something to do with their education system. And it seems to be that education is a huge part of learning, but of understanding.
You know, religion is very interesting. Religion is a very interesting thing. One of the things I talk about on the show is the origin of the letter J. Have you ever heard me talk about the origin of the letter J?
Yes, I enjoy that, actually. I like that you told me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've had some people from the Jehovah Witnesses who have been contacting me for one, and they'll come to my home, and I'll sit down and talk to them, and I'll talk to them about religion. And one of the things I like to bring up on this show, and maybe we can chat about it just a little bit, is the origin of the letter J. And most people don't realize that there were no letter J's in the original, in the earliest Bibles. For example, I will put a link in the chat room. It shows the name IESVS as the person that we call Jesus today. And it's the title page of the 1611 version of the Bible. And, I went through this research time where I was trying to find out how in the heck can the Meyer material say that the central figure of Western culture, which is the person we call Jesus Christ today, how could his real name be Emmanuel? Well, the interesting thing that I found out is that the letter J never came into being until about 1550. And the letter J didn't exist in any of the ancient languages on earth, neither the Aramaic, the Greek, any of these ancient languages, there was no letter J. And it wasn't until about 1550 that a guy named Gian Giorgio Torricino was the first to explicitly distinguish the I and the J, and he essentially invented the letter J, which came into being in the German language first, then the French, and then the English. So there was no letter J in the ancient world. Now, what they did is they went back in these translations and they added the letter J, for example, to the word, which at this point in time, right around 1550, 1450, 1600, the person that we call Jesus today was called Iesus in the Greek, or Iesus in the Latin. So the name somehow over the centuries must have evolved from Emmanuel into Iesus and then eventually into Jesus. Now, a lot of Christian folks that have done some research will say his original name was Yeshua, which the Meyer material doesn't really think so. But that's something else I want to continue to study. Now, Solon, do you have any observation, any comments on the whole idea of the letter J being the youngest letter in our alphabet?
I actually have a lot. I would say in German, the Y sound is a J. Like when you say Ja, which is J A in German, mm-hmm. which is Ja, like the way we say Ja. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, Jetzt and all that stuff. There's that Y sound when you hear the J. But
mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with my grandma where she, you know, I was trying to tell her I wasn't religious, and she was like telling me I was atheist, and I was like, no, I'm not atheist. I just don't believe there was a person named Jesus Christ, because the letter J wasn't invented until the 1500s, I think I told her. And somehow that led me to not be an atheist anymore, because she was like, yeah, he probably didn't exist. That name probably didn't exist. And she was like, but you believe the person existed? And I was like, yeah, of course. You know, there's too many records of this guy existing for it not to, you know, to be false.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very interesting that the name changed. I mean, who would be so audacious to do that? You know, if his original name would have began with a J sound, why not, you know, I mean, why, if it, say, began with a Y sound, and say the Meyer material is wrong, his name was Yeshua. Why not leave it that way?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
There was, in the English language itself, has really is degenerated, I guess you could say. Over time, we've shifted a lot of our vowels because I was having a discussion with my friends, and he went over to England, and he actually knows the German language, or is studying, I guess you could say. He knows a great portion of it. And he was saying that the way they say their vowels is very much close to the German, where here ours has shifted so much that when we hear theirs, it almost sounds like it's almost a different language, but yet we understand them.
You know, it's interesting. The Greek alphabet will also show that there's no letter J or no J sound. And in the ancient Latin and the ancient languages, a lot of places will say that Jesus was spelled with the letter I. And also in the Hebrew, there is no letter J. So what they'll say is that Jesus was originally spelled as Yeshua or Yehoshua, something like that. So,
yeah, which I've heard
it,
people say Joshua.
Yeah, it's very strange to me that they would go in and change these pronunciations. I think that that's just, like, so insane. Why would you do that? How, you know, what is the point of doing that? I don't get it. What do you think?
Well, I honestly think that a lot of languages have just changed over time. Do you ever remember playing that game when you were younger where you would say a word to the person beside you and it would go down the line or whatever, and then the person at the end would have to say the word?
Yeah.
And they would say something completely different.
Exactly.
I feel like that's what happened with our languages. They just, over time, people just were just doing them incorrectly, and it's just degenerated.
I put in a chat room the names of James and John, And they're so hard to pronounce. They both begin with the letter Y, by the way. And how they changed into James and John is I'll let people decide. For the people that are listening to this later on archive, the James' real name, according to one of the scholars that I've talked to, is Yaakov. And John's real name was Yahuchanon. Pronounce that. Good luck. I don't even know, how to pronounce that.
Josh Caution. Yeah, and you know, if you try to say these using the English alphabet, it's you know, it's probably really off. Like I was saying, from all the other languages, you know, German. If you use a lot of the German with the French and the Italian, you can they have very similar soundings and letters. But when we start using American English, the vowels are so different that it's like we've really created our own language, really, which is, I guess, one of the reasons why they call it U.S. English, right?
One of the things, and we're running close on time, we've only got about 3 minutes here, so long, but one of the things you corrected me on was, is it Wiesenheiten?
Wiesenheiten? Is that what you mean? And I have that wrong. You're talking about the Wiesen, the inner nature?
Right.
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 Do you know the definition by any chance?
Well, there's two words, Wiesenheiten and Wiesen. The Meyer material used the Wiesenheiten to refer to the universal consciousness, which they say has no personality, where Wiesen is the human.
You and I have a hard time with this
personality,
one.
Has a personality. Just like the cat, the dog has a personality. So, but the universal consciousness really has no personality now. This is huge because it's one of the distinguishing factors between understanding that the Meyer material teaches that the idea of God, the Heavenly Father, is not correct. But we have a Wiesenheiten, which is a superintelligence that radiates love, that has no personality. So it doesn't, like, personally love you. It radiates love, and the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love that this intelligence has. So I think one of the most important things we have to do is start to get a better handle on the creation and what the universal consciousness is. We got 2 minutes left. So, Lon, do you have any comments for us?
Yes, I just want to correct you with saying Semyaz's name right. You say Semyazi, which is another problem with English. We say the E, but it's Semyaza. So you're saying,
okay.
If you ever listen to Billy say it, he'll say it correctly. Sometimes it's good to actually listen to Billy speak German so you kind of get an idea of what he even though you might not know the words, he'll start saying those names, and you'll really understand how to say them. And because we say a lot of them wrong. And there was a contact note about her getting upset about that, because when you say the E like that, it's like the queen of death.
Wow, that's interesting. We should finish this conversation on another show, because there was also a person in earlier times, like during the times of Atlantis and Lemuria, that had a similar name, Semyasa. So,
yeah, the male.
Yeah, the male. So we'll have to talk about that. Folks, we've only got like a minute left. I want to thank so long for coming on the show. Keep your eyes on these fires. It's very disturbing. We're watching the Meyer material be fulfilled. Have a great week, folks. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mark.